When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
All right, Sam, what are you? Gemini? You got a what? Australopithecus? What are you, a Hawkeye? I'm Vision.
That's right. Yeah, I'm the one that everyone goes up to you and goes, oh, you're a Gemini? Well, you're like a sociopathic, two-faced piece of shit.
Whoa.
You have to go, oh, okay. That is what I am. According to the stars, that's what I am.
Really?
Anyone that's really into astrology will tell you what your deal is, like you're fucking, like you killed your wife. It's insane.
It is a cool excuse for being crazy. Like, the planets!
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that cosmic element where you're
They're waging war! You don't even know!
It's like, no, you're just an asshole.
I'm a Gemini, and my wonderful girlfriend is that secret one. You remember how there was a secret one that was revealed? There was a 13th sign? You guys are just hearing about this. I'm so excited that I get to reveal this to you. I can't remember how to say it because it's like, Ophiuchus, which is like, yeah, like the, I don't know the whole story, but like the Catholic Church came at astrology at one point, like they do. And they, for some reason, they took them on like one sign at a time and they managed to get rid of Ophiuchus. But there was originally, like a 13th symbol, but I think it was like a dragon or something. So they were like, oh, really? Like Satan? And and people were like, no.
I wouldn't mind being a dragon personally. Sounds pretty sure. Badass.
Same with that. Same with the Chinese zodiac. I pulled pig on that one.
I think I'm rat or something else humiliating. I don't think I've ever. When I was born was maybe the worst time to be born. It's all just, yeah, you two-faced rat fuck, you terrible asshole.
I would love to be anything but the pig. The pig just, you know, I've kind of grown to love it because it's like, okay, yeah, I see it. The pig's living a good life, wealth, etc.
Have you guys seen the trailer for that Nicolas Cage movie Pig that just came out? It's just it's just John Wick, but about he loses his pig instead of his dog gets killed. I'm not kidding. It's like a trailer you can watch. Yeah, he's a former chef.
Okay.
He's a former chef who murdered people.
What?
And he has a truffle pig that finds truffles for him, and they get stolen.
Insane.
And then he's like, "Where's my pig?"
I love it. Based on the video game Redneck Rampage from LucasArts.
I love a reboot that's just we're doing that idea again with a different guy and a different thing.
But again, different then. Remember when they did some kind of what was the one where fucking Liam Neeson was killing wolves. It's like the Great Narc.
Yeah, the Gray.
Yes, the Gray.
The Gray. The Gray. Yeah, they did one after that was just that was like about him being like a plow driver, just because they wanted to get him back in the ice.
Yeah.
And back fighting wolves.
And that movie sucks. It is crazy. I watched it on a plane, and it is like nonsense.
Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit. Yeah.
Hilarious name. New York Times of a name.
It's like all the attempted pun names that are like, it's going to be a long winter or whatever, all those attempted jokes, they're all like off. Like they're all kind of, they're like what, a third grader guessed
quarter
they would be?
Off.
Like they're all, you're all like, what? Like there's one, fuck, what is it? Like a guy is he hangs a guy with like a snow chain or something.
A snow chain.
And is like, hang in there. And you're like,
I guess.
He's not hanging. He's like dragging him. I don't know. That movie is wild. It's so bad.
Well, you know what? We don't have to worry about it today because we're not going to the frozen north to fight, to fight wolves with snow chains. We're going to Fight Island. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fight Island, the podcast about fictional fights and the very real island where they take place. My name is Jordan Dahl.
I'm Sam Wiles.
And joining us today, Raj Desai is here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yes, that's me.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And we're not going to fight frozen fogies or wolves. Wouldn't that be a fucked up episode? We just fight different wolves we know. We are going to fight Weekend Update hosts from SNL, Saturday Night Live, aka, if you don't know what the acronym is. There's a segment on it called Weekend Update. It's hilarious. Jibes and japes, a bit of a meme factory before there was the internet, and people host it. The kind of not what your non-charactery people, your snarkiest members of SNL have historically hosted Weekend Update.
This Weekend Update explanation feels like it's for our listeners under 20 or over 80.
Yeah, you could jump in at any point with some flavor dialogue or just, you know, engage with me.
I thought you felt like it was very important to do.
No.
You had your important face on. Yeah.
I say something, then you say something, and we go back and forward like that until the podcast is over.
I like the idea of, I like fighting a, you know, I like fighting a defined pop culture category. Sure. Anyway, but this one has a lot of like, this one is like very, it might be the only thing I have a ton of hard opinions about in the right. entire world. I don't really care about much other stuff.
But. I'm super here for it. I don't, but I'm in that like gaseous space where if either of you guys have hard opinions about it, I'm sure mine will quickly crystallize. For any Raj heads just joining us, this is the way.
The Raj Army. Yeah, they know you as the King of Snark, and that's fine.
The King of Snark, also the Disciples. My last name is Desai, so I jokingly call my fans Disciples.
That's very good. That's very good.
There's maybe three actual disciples.
I'm gonna lean into it hard for this.
Raj is one of the few people I will like. So if anyone is ever like just conversationally talking about Twitter, I will bring up Raj's feed to be like, oh, look how big of a dick he's being. it is great. It is always like the thing that is like 4 years too old that normal people from like normal people I know in my neighborhood are still saying, and then Roger will claim it as his own, and I think that is the funniest bit.
Well, for any disciples just joining us, this is the way the pod goes down. It's a big game of who would win in a fight between. We do three rounds. We do a lightweight, a middleweight, and a heavyweight bout. We will discuss the strengths and weaknesses of the people we decide who are in these fights. We will ultimately vote on who we think wins each one. It is video game rules, so old people can fight gay people, men can fight women. Dogs can fight babies, whatever needs to happen in order for, you know, justice, victory to be attained. The island craves order. The island craves victory. There cannot be any ties. And that's it. Lightweight Weekend Update hosts. Who do you think of, or who, more importantly, who do you not think of when you think of Weekend Update?
The person I forget always did it because they were miscast. They shouldn't have been made to do it, but they were in an emergency fashion. Mm-hmm. Is Colin Quinn. He's Colin, a funny guy who's like cerebral and like supposed to be that kind of guy, but sure. that isn't his medium. Like he was much better as like a, like they pull him in for a segment or two and yes. then he would do the segment. And that was always very funny. And then they made him the host and he's like too. He's not like a monologue delivery guy. He's like the way he talks is too garbled.
Sure.
And like his pacing is very unconventional. And he like talks real fast all of a sudden and then will like then really draw something out. And like he did poorly, but I think he's really funny. Like I just think you forget about him. So that's my vote.
He is very sure. funny. I think you make a good point. He's probably not the guy you want reading cue card. Two line jokes, just because of pacing, perhaps. But like, he is such a funny guy, and I did enjoy his version of it. But I almost forget he did.
Sure,
sure.
There is, and this has no bearing on on the combat prowess of our lightweight fighter, but it almost wonder, you almost wonder, first of all, Colin Quinn, I would say, would kick almost anybody else's ass.
In this special category, he does seem like the only tough guy.
Especially in a lightweight bout. But where else would you even put him on SNL? Could he be anywhere but Weekend Update?
Yeah, I don't know. He's so specific.
He is very funny. He's undeniably funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he just a writer and then they made him Update host? Yeah. Or is he a cast member?
He was cast and then he was like a featured player, I think.
Yeah,
and they would,
he is a funny dude.
Because he would come on and do, I think when he like shined, he would be some weird New York eccentric that would come on and do a Weekend Update segment with Norm. And they had like a good back and forth.
Anytime you need like, like the head of the sewer commission or like a guy who saw what happened at Yankee Stadium that night.
He's like maybe one of the few people at SNL in that era that was like, hey, you know, there are poor people. Have you ever heard of like, heard of working people? Like they exist and stuff. But I think he's a good lightweight combatant.
Okay. Okay, I like Colin Quinn. I think I would argue that he's a middleweight at least, you know, but you know it would have to be an argument. So I think we could get him into a lightweight. I'm gonna say the lightest weight one. Now again, I'm not entirely steeped in SNL lore, the Curse of the Bambino, etc. But so I looked up the list of people who have hosted. What y'all know about Charles Rocket?
Yeah, he probably
died horrifically.
Yeah, he died horrifically. He was in Dumb and Dumber.
He was in Dumb and Dumber. He was the bad guy in Dumb and Dumber. Mm-hmm.
Those are two things I know about him.
Well, now you know a third thing. He hosted Weekend Update from 1981 to 1980. I went backwards. 1980 to 1981.
That's like the post-Lorne, that weird post-Lorne blip.
He was later teamed with Gail Mathias.
I've seen those, but I think like he was there the first year that Lorne Michaels left and Dick Ebersole took over. So he was
Dick Ebersole.
It might have been pre-Eddie Murphy. So, you know, but insane. When Eddie Murphy came on, it did well again. So this may have been, I don't know. I'm sure there's SNL fans who would tell you maybe one of the weakest years, like in terms of its cultural impact.
Yeah, that's when they were doing Saturday Night Dead and stuff like in the.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's post-Lorne, pre-Eddie Murphy, which is the least important the show ever was in terms of cultural valence, I think, but probably still 30 million people watch it a week because nothing was.
Yeah, this is
so maybe I'm wrong.
More people watched it than the Super Bowl, so
yeah, probably.
All TV was exactly the same.
Brian Doyle Murray was a Weekend Update anchor briefly.
Was he? That sounds crazy.
Dick Ebersole, Brad Hall. This when they
I think you're just reading. People associated.
No, Brad Hall took over the desk of the retitled Saturday Night News in 1982.
He did. He was. Yeah.
Oh my God. I know he was. Correct.
Yeah. This is when the Weekend Update desk was wobbling, when SNL almost went off the air. There were some. I mean, listen. Christopher Guest.
Horatio Sanz was a fill-in for two episodes, which is a very weird one. Pre-Seth Meyers.
I'm going to pitch somebody who I think would... I basically really want to see this fight happen. Colin Quinn versus Dennis Miller. Maybe my least favorite.
I feel like he's almost a heavyweight. He kind of defined...
You think he's heavyweight?
Yeah. What about... In terms of people you don't like, what about Colin Quinn versus Colin Jost? What if it's... It's class warfare among guys named Colin. It's a Colin off.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Okay. The question before us is who would win in a fight between Colin Quinn and Colin Jost? And obviously, you know, naked in a pit.
Quinn.
In his prime. Quinn's going to tear this kid to pieces.
But I think Colin Jost has a little bit of a Batman factor. Rich guy.
A little bit of a Batman factor.
I would think, here's one thing I would say about Colin Jost. My guess is he works out quite a bit. I'm not saying Colin Quinn doesn't, but my guess is Colin Jost can lift more weights than, not that that's indicative of fighting spirit, but sure. that's something. Yeah.
I think you're probably right. Almost certainly. I mean, he is a pretty enough boy that there's a pack under there, six or otherwise.
He goes to a gym we're not allowed to go in the lobby of.
Yeah, gym of the
new. You're probably personal trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wooden lockers. And
he's got access to the Marvel diet.
I think just being near Scarlett Johansson makes you fit and hot. She has like an aura that burns calories.
There's a whole A24 movie about that. I assume.
You are right, though. Every once in a while, he must walk past the fridge and be like, oh, there's some Marvel superfood in here. I better.
Yeah.
Oh, leftovers. He's got secondhand Marvel bod.
Leftover gelatinous cubes. He's trying.
Sure.
Mmm, yum.
What is that thing?
This one just tastes like, I guess, the Gilded Age? What does this cube taste like? What is this?
Gilded. That is a really good point. And Colin Quinn, my man only sweats when he's eating a Polish sausage, you know? Yeah.
He had a heart attack. He's not in good condition. He is.
Or did that make him stronger? And this is also, maybe, we got to say, this is Fight Island, so it's going to enhance their natural energies. So I think Jost is showing up.
I would say Jost has obvious, like, lifting weight strength, but Colin Quinn might have that secret. Like, I've seen it, like, guys who are maybe seem like not in the greatest shape, and then they just lift the fucking couch over their head, and you're like, okay, this guy is a tough guy.
Yeah.
True, like, I think Quinn could have that type of strength. Yeah. Not working pretty boy. Strength. Let's call it pretty boy strength versus working class strength, maybe is a way to look at it. I don't
know. Blue collar. Yeah.
It's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic, like, you know, rich kids across the camp. Jost has been training for this. He's got a nutritionist involved.
He's Ivan Drago.
He's Ivan Drago. He's Ivan Drago. And
he's punching a big impossible ribs. That's what he's. Impossible ribs.
God, I hope that's never a thing. No.
You know they're working on impossible ribs, George.
Why is it on ribs?
Oh, that's what Rocky punched ribs. Drago didn't punch ribs.
Where did the ribs come from? Oh, they're real. The meat's just the fake part. It's still real ribs. You can reuse them, though.
That's some very neoliberal thinking. Is I've got these bones I took from a cow, but then I put fake meat on them.
Totally. Now I'm like drifting away into like cooking daydreams. That would actually be a really cool way to do like some kebabs or something around the, and then grill them. Now I'm hungry. I blew it.
Sometimes that derails the pod.
Sure.
Anytime we go to commercial, it's because Jordan passed out thinking about
ribs.
Think about skewers.
Oh, I've got the rib fever.
Yeah, our commercials are more sort of aesthetic. They don't actually advertise anything.
He's nibbling on the microphone. I also, much like, I think you can distract Colin Quinn. See that? Is he bringing it back?
Oh, yeah.
With like, if you throw like a
I think a loose cigarette will distract him.
Tomahawk steak.
All right.
Here's the thing. Okay. At this point, Colin Quinn, obviously, he's going to show up with a fucking, a cool 120 hanging out of his lip, another one behind his ear, a hat on backwards, here to kick some ass. He does have, I think this is Colin Quinn at his peak, so he's got a heart attack coming down the line. He's got, but it hasn't happened quite yet.
I think the age they fight, for just for clarity, I think the age they fight is the age they hosted SNL.
Yes.
Or they hosted Weekend Update.
Love it.
That's not getting that's perfect. I think
I can see Joe's training for weeks and getting like, oh God, he's got the writers, you know, he's got the writers writing him like a fight regiment joke, things he can say between punches and shit. We've come so far with SNL since then, but it's just not as funny as it used to be. And it's going to be Quinn. It's going to be Quinn all day. Quinn takes this to the
mat. That's your vote, Jared.
That is my vote. I'm locking in Colin Quinn. I don't see how Jost.
As much as it pains me, and I love CQ, one of my favorite SNL cast of all time.
Okay.
I think Jost is ruthless. Okay. I think he climbed his way to the top.
Okay.
And he dominates SNL in a way that's like, what? Why? In the way that Colin Quinn never did. He was always yeah. deferential, always like writing some manifesto about like how all the founding fathers were, you know, probably from Brooklyn or whatever. And I think Jost is like a little bit more Patrick Bateman than we.
He does. Yes, give him that's credit. It. He has that unforgiving, that uncompromising haircut.
He is the modern American Psycho, which is like, I'm a comedian. Also, that's like what a crazy rich guy does now. It just goes. I went to Harvard, and in the 80s, it'd be like I'd be a Wall Street lunatic. It's like no. Now he's in the fucking Good Place writers' room, being like a murderer.
This is so on point.
I think it makes
me want to like I'm rethinking this thing. I can honestly
I think Jost Grottweiler's him because he has fucking Grottweiler on him because he's insane.
It feels like almost like he would sneak like an Alka-Seltzer in his waistband, you know, that move from Bloodsport, crush it up, throw it in his eyes.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like he's beyond
I just think he's savage. There's something in the deadness of his pupils but that you're like,
he does have those dead eyes. But also, I can see Quinn showing up with a battery in
his pocket. Quinn's seen a lot of shit, too. I mean, he's like definitely been mugged and like been in physical confrontations. Jost, it's all imagined. He's fighting simulations. He's punching lasers. He's hologram fighting.
He's holodeck. Colin Quinn has bit a guy's nose. Maybe not off. But
partially, certainly. All right, Roger, you're going to be the tiebreaker. What do you think?
I'm going to go. I think you made a great point, Sam, about maybe sort of a Patrick Bateman vibe or something. But I think Quinn, when he was hosting Update, like his age, mm-hmm. I think he's got this. I think he's seen some fights. I think he's been in some fights. I have a feeling Colin Jost maybe hasn't been in a ton of fights.
and a stretch.
I think that Quinn just has a world he is not unfamiliar with.
Truly, he comes in with that grit, that street grit,
built like a fire hydrant. I mean, like he's built like a grain silo. There's no thing you can't, you know. There's no weak point.
I could see him crushing a blinding pill in his hand and throwing it in Colin Quinn's eyes. And he's like, you think we didn't take blinding pills every weekend? I used to snort this shit off of a stripper's butt cheeks, you know? Ding, ding, ding. You're right. Colin Quinn, obviously, wrecks the set. It's hilarious. He drinks a beer and gets to work on that heart attack, like we all are.
No, I think then he reads a long Norman Mailer book about boxing. That's like, he also seems like one of those kind of guys that like talks about the sweet science.
He probably does. Yeah.
He probably does.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a generation of comics that were all like, boxing is like comedy. And everyone was like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like Louis and Jay Moore and Colin Quinn.
Oh, cigars are like comedy.
That's actually funny you said that. That's a good point. And I think like, even like Gary Shandling got into boxing. I have a feeling that Colin Quinn could have been into boxing.
Boxing is fun. I did it for a little bit out here, like in Eagle Rock, and it was like a good, I don't know, it is like fun to do. you get it? I don't think it's like stand-up, but it's fun to do.
Then you're obviously not doing it funny enough, Sam.
sure.
Every time you hit someone, you're supposed to make a sound effect.
Ducking, weaving, cracking wise.
That's what Muhammad Ali did. That sting like a butterfly thing? No, wait, sting like a bee thing? That's because he was buzzing the whole time.
Bzz, bzz, bzz. All right.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. Colin Quinn takes it. Middleweight weekend update hosts. Who jumps to mind? Who leaps forth? Chevy?
Chevy kind of defined it. He's not a certain middleweight for me.
I keep jumping the gun.
You guys I think
so patient with me.
I'd say, you know, maybe Kevin Nealon. He was great, but he didn't have like a massive cultural impact.
Yeah. He is like he is like the exact middle of the pack. He's like generic Weekend Update delivery. His era of current event was also not very important. You know what I mean? It's like he's like a lot of like he I like can picture him telling a joke about H.W. Bush barfing. That's like what like immediately I'm like, oh yeah, totally. That's like a joke. That's like his wheelhouse.
Yeah. I feel like he was like latter year Dan Quayle is dumb.
Yes.
And then so end of the George W. Bush, and then like pre OJ, pre Lewinsky. So he just didn't get any of that stuff.
Norm really had the market cornered on his shit that he's obviously who I'm gonna suggest for heavyweight, but he had the market
I love Norman.
The market cornered for like his kind of humor too, like a real joining fates. Sure. But like Nealon similarly, like the things that were to be joked about in 1990 were very Kevin Nealon.
Sure. Sure. What about, here's another person who I think is a very good medium weight, or as some people call them, middleweights. Seth Meyers.
That's a good one.
He's also, you know, very funny. I do notice that he is the longest running host of Weekend Update ever.
He held it down.
I mean,
yeah.
But I don't know that he had like that cultural impact that Chevy Chase or like
or something. Kind of in that this is fine way. Like, we don't really need to change.
I also think a middleweight to me, because her time as Weekend Update was much more middling than the rest of her time, is Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler. Sure. Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler would maybe be good to break up the boys club of the episode.
They were co-hosts, so they're going against each other on Fight Island, even though they worked
together. Myers v. Poehler.
Myers v. Poehler. You think Myers v. Poehler?
I forgot about Nealon for a second. But
You think? Okay, so
what Nealon is perfectly average. Poehler versus Myers is a more interesting fight. There's not a natural opponent for Nealon for me. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Perfectly at the center. You're like, there's not another person that's like that to me.
Okay, I like it. Let's do Poehler v. Myers.
Or Poehler v. Fallon.
Poehler v. Fallon.
Two people whose careers went way better post Weekend Update.
Love it.
They were co-hosts who didn't totally shoulder it. And they're like goofballs.
I love it. And also, these are people who aren't necessarily married to the Weekend Update position. These are people who would show up in other sketches. And and quite often rock the Casbah, as it were. Have a good set, not have sex there. Rock the Casbah is a euphemism.
It can mean lots of things. Rock the Casbah.
They would kill it. They would kill it all over the place, not just Weekend Update. I love it. I love it.
Fallon v. Poehler, we're locking it in.
So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Jimmy, don't look at the camera, Fallon, and Amy, problematic live Poehler?
Jimmy Fallon is like goofy. Like, I feel like he would be bad.
They're both
at fighting.
Very goofy. They both have a very...
Poehler's got more grit to her, I think. I think she's more confrontational.
But they both have like manic spaz energy, you know?
They can both turn on some high energy.
I would say
that Amy Poehler, I've never met her. I have no idea. She seems like a very tough person. Like, she must have put up much shit to get where she did. And that spirit can help in perhaps a physical confrontation.
I think that's very solid thinking. That's also initially what I would think. Cause like she had to bite and claw, and she was like on Conan, and like in her book, she has a lot of like times people fucked with me for no reason stories. And like, if Jimmy Fallon's going to write a book, it's mostly just going to be like, I was 20 and then someone gave me something.
Yeah.
Cool.
Fallon, if anything, has the perhaps through no fault of his own, the unearned confidence of a man who didn't earn his confidence. But I don't know if that's a bad thing here on Fight Island. I think here on Fight Island, believing yourself is 9/10 of the law, as it were, you know?
I mean, for the 109th episode in a row, we've talked about it. Being dumb helps. It's a good fighting thing to be like a little dumb.
Is the greatest weapon.
You aren't picturing yourself getting your ass kicked right before.
And not to be the Weekend Update fitness monitor, but Jimmy Fallon must work out quite a bit. I certainly in his 20s when he was hosting.
He's real spry in the hosting era.
Physical fit shape. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Lifting gin and tonics. Am I right? I got you. Shots fired. Zazing. I can see, I mean, in my head, I just keep imagining, I cut to this scene on Fight Island and it's like them about to fight. And it's pretty funny already. They're already kind of doing some business. And, Jimmy's kind of looking at the audience and they're like, oh, he's including us. We enjoy it. And then it's like scene missing, Amy Poehler on his head, just screaming and punching. like a wild orangutan or something.
That feels right to me. I think the argument also for Fallon, maybe if he's on Fight Island, his fighting power, it's a video game. His fighting powers are enhanced. He's a chameleon, a little bit of a shapeshifter.
He's a bit of a shapeshifter.
He's more of an impressionist. He can become other things. Maybe
musical
he,
impressions, no less.
Maybe he impersonates someone who's good at fighting. And that's like kind of how he gets there. You know what I mean? Whoa. Where he's like, you know, this is my,
what a genius Christ,
Brian
St. Pierre
impression, and tries to put her in a figure four arm bar or something like that. It could happen.
That's a really good point. Honestly, the man is a gifted caricaturist.
You know what? But I'm gonna vote Poehler. I'm gonna say Poehler's grit, determination. She's the tough guy in the group, and I think I gotta. I just don't think Fallon could commit. And also, like that era, Fallon, she was in the cast the same time he was, and she was the alpha. You know what I mean? Like he would probably do whatever she said at that time.
I
think she's got that over him, and she gets him in a headlock and just.
When I imagine their relationship, it's definitely like her kind of poking him in the ribs and him going, stop, cut it out. Hey, stop.
Yeah. There's a part in her book where she like barks at him and it like works. Cause he's like being like sexist or something, but like in the way like a 22-year-old guy would be.
Yeah.
And I just think she's the superior.
She literally barks at him.
No, no, I want to accurately reflect the audiobook I listened to. She does not bark at him.
That is a power move though. You ever bark at somebody? They don't come back quick.
Oh my God. I watched the funniest almost bar fight of my life last night.
Please.
And I will. I want to share it on Fight Island because that's what it's for.
Incredible.
It's I was at a beloved Los Feliz Bar, The Roost.
Oh, punching hams.
And there's a guy with two past guests of the pod, Chris Stevens and Joe Quazala. Mm. And we watched this giant guy with a big gray ponytail. And he's like bigger than I am. He's like probably 300 pounds. And he comes out of the bathroom and he is hammered. And he runs into like a normal sized, like 40-year-old guy. And like it just escalates instantly. But they start, they're both drunk. So they start pushing each other really slowly. Just like, hey, and they're talking, they're really slurry. So they're like, hey, no, you fuck you, dude. And then like push him. Another guy pushes him. And then they're like, some other guy gets in between them and is like, you two are too drunk to even fight. And like gets between them. And the guy with the long ponytail, who I've seen at that bar now multiple times, he goes, I will kick your ass. I'm a Marine. And and then the other guy goes, I respect your service. Thank you for your service. I will fuck you up.
Oh my God.
And it's so funny. Wow. He like hair trigger has to be like deferential to like his being in the Marines. Wow. But he's also telling him to fuck himself. It was so funny. So it's just shoving and then they get separated because I think they immediately forgot they were fighting.
I honestly thought it was going to be like the surprise connection where it's like, I'm a Marine too.
Yeah. No, the guy had to go, hey, thank you for your service. Yeah, fuck even, you, dude. No, yeah. Fuck you. So it really made me laugh. So I had a good time with that. It was very funny.
Dang.
Wow.
Great Ponytail.
Did they finish this fight or no?
No, no. Ponytail, I think, got out of breath and had to sit down.
They took it home, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they both went and thought real hard about it. And they're in their cars they were going to drive immediately after leaving the bar. Ugh. So anyway, a fight story for Fight Island.
You're giving it to Amy Poehler.
I am.
Raj, would you choose next? I'm having trouble here.
I maybe thought about all the points. I may be influenced by a sketch that Amy Poehler, she played a character where she was a little girl and she would like jump on Horatio Sanz's back and stuff and kind of like.
Yeah, she is. In my mind, she's very acrobatic.
Yeah, that image is in my head that she is a scrapper. And I know she was playing like a little girl, but I'm going to go Amy Poehler just for
you're going to Amy. That's
toughness.
Two for Amy.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote just for ding, ding, ding. Amy Poehler takes it, by the way. I'm going to vote for Jimmy just because I can't get this idea that Sam incepted into my head out about him doing an impression of someone who wins fights. And I think in my alternate universe tangent, he does just that and wins it. But the whole time he's like, yeah, I'll fucking win. Get it? And like looks at the camera.
Yeah, he's like doing Charles Bronson, but he keeps breaking.
Do you get it? Yeah. But ding, ding, ding. Amy Poehler takes it. Of course, she was always going to take it. She has a scrappy, terrifying energy to her that she seems like she could explode. Do you know what I mean?
Much more Eye of the Tiger.
You know what I mean by the term explode? Remember that King of the Hill where he puts a carpet on Bobby and sprays it with water and it tries to get him to explode out from under it?
No, but
no.
That does make me want to watch more King of the Hill because that's the kind of shit that's in it.
She seems like she could pull that off. I feel like Fallon would just go to sleep under there.
Have a nice little nap.
Kidding, Jimmy. Please give me a job.
Jordan has so many ideas for celebrity games.
I do. So many. So many. What if
Pro-Am.
Sir Patrick Stewart played boxing?
What if Bobby Flay played the harp? And
what if Bobby Flay cooked a guitar?
My packet is just a picture of me screaming. For Jordan Ballas, just having a huge panic attack.
Okay, final round, y'all. They've been waiting for it all year. Out in the streets, they've been clamoring for it. When are we going to get to the heavyweight bout of SNL Weekend Update hosts? Who are the heavyweights? Who are your SNL heavyweight weekend updates?
We said Norm already. Norm. And I think that's a very clear one. And then
Dennis.
Tina Chevy. Fey, I think, is a important one to throw
Tina
out.
Fey Tina Fey is one. Chevy, I would say. And,
I'd say Chevy and Jane come as a kind of a tag team. I think this is
It was Aykroyd and Jane. Chevy was
really?
Alone. Yeah.
You're right. Aykroyd. What about Aykroyd then? Is he heavy?
Aykroyd and Jane Curtin
only did
as a duo.
Yeah.
4 years.
Aykroyd and Jane would have been a good middleweight against another middleweight duo.
Yeah.
But we blew it.
I will say Dennis Miller, big impact on that show.
Yeah,
on that, in his time there, possible heavyweight.
Well, he kind of transitioned it from satire of the news in like an Onion way into just one liners about jokes.
Now we're telling jokes, cha cha.
Yeah, and then it broke it. And then 9/11 broke his brain.
Yeah. Well, he was in the tower. He had to jump off at the last minute. Landed in an Einstein Bros.
Steve Ranazzisi hacked Dennis Miller's bit about lying about 9/11.
What
that's
a weird
the next
thing
we should investigate.
I want him to make a movie about that whole scenario from the first time he told the lie to like where it happened.
I have never been treated worse by a comedian than Steve Ranazzisi.
Whoa, really? What happened?
He I hosted for him for a weekend and he would not talk to me or look me in the eye. He Dish. Would tell the feature to tell me things. And I don't know why. Like, I truly couldn't tell what was happening, and, like, nobody could.
Maybe he saw your Twitter.
Where I said, being in 9/11 rules, and if you lie about it. No, this was pre the 9/11 thing. This is just when he was a guy on the league.
He's just being a schlong, huh?
Yeah, he's just a dick. So well, I'm glad that thing happened to him where he lied and now no one puts him in anything.
Yeah, fuck you. Okay. So Chevy, Dennis. I mean, Chevy Chase versus Dennis Miller is that's gorgeous. Dennis Miller versus Tina Fey seems fun.
I think that's a fun one.
Norm
versus Dennis Miller is fun to me. It's kind of the two most defining Weekend Update guys. It's Canada versus America.
Yeah, but I think Norm would get beat up.
I do think Norm
is too. He seems relaxed to me.
Yeah,
he's so relaxed. He's so relaxed, and I don't want to get beat up.
Yeah,
and I don't want to watch it.
It's a lot of like the scenes from Dirty Work. It's that scene from Dirty Work where he plays. They're in the bar fight, and he plays. Was he put on the Pina Colada. Street Fight on the jukebox? Yeah,
that movie whooped so much ass, and everybody slept on it.
It's so funny, and he's so bad in it. But it's like, yeah, it's like early Seinfeld or like Caddyshack. Totally. It's like you don't care. Like it's so good.
Oh yeah,
a shit.
It is a movie about a bunch of funny ass comedians being complete pieces of shit. Chris Farley got his nose bit off by a Saigon prostitute.
That's right, Saigon prostitute. Yeah. The other funny thing is, I thought it was so funny that the guy who plays Shooter McGavin, like his next role is Jerk in Dirty Work.
Oh yeah,
like Christopher McDonald. Yeah.
What a
I mean, I like, he's a good actor. I like him. Yes, I actually saw him in person. I was so excited. I saw him in Venice once, and I was like, Shooter. I mean, I didn't yell it out, but I was like, Shooter McGavin.
Shooter.
But
yeah. Incredible. He rocks. He's one of those actors who is like,
yeah,
such a perfect dickhead in everything.
Yes.
And it, his entire real life presence is like, you're the nicest guy and this is wonderful. This is what I want reality to be.
Like a widely praised person. Instead of the opposite, person.
Where Steve Renazzisi is a schlong for no reason.
I will. This is mildly interesting. Perhaps there was a time maybe 12, 13, 14 years ago, there was a show called Family Law. It went off the air pretty quickly. It was a drama, and the partners at this family law firm were Shooter McGavin, Tony Danza, and Dixie Carter from Designing Women. And it was I remember watching the preview and just being like, these three all took the bar and chose family law. And there was at the same time, there was one where Jim Belushi and the guy who's married to Rebecca Romaine, Jerry O'Connell, were criminal lawyers. And I was like, these guys started a law firm too? Anyway.
I remember just like hearing, I remember hearing about a show that was called like Law Tigers or Law Panthers or something. And it was such a funny idea. It was a pilot that got shot. And apparently everybody on set like couldn't stop laughing at it. And it was about these like eighties glam rockers who had turned in their headbands and leotards and gotten into law. And supposedly it was so funny, and I've never seen it. I guess it died somewhere, which is such a bummer.
That sounds really funny actually. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Bring it back.
I feel
bring back Family Law.
It's weird that there's like categories of things where like you'll never run out of shows about them, even in a world of infinite shows. And it's like lawyers, hospitals, cops. Yeah. That's every
vampires.
We're still
have you
not
ever
at the
heard
end.
Why that is? People say it's because the stakes are always high in those professions. You can make the stakes naturally.
Yeah.
High. Whereas especially if you had like a florist to have like high stakes.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the vampire one.
Yeah, you have to bring in a vampire florist. That's when the stakes get higher.
Stakes, STAKES.
It would be funny to have a show. It would be funny to have a show about a florist and then just film it like it was about murder. Like Sam, people constantly picking the flower up and just being like, good God.
I do like that I've sort of Pavlov dogged. Trained Sam to when I even intimate a pun, it like bounces off of him like he's bulletproof to them now. So my stakes pun didn't work.
I truly didn't even catch it, but I don't know if that's conscious or subconscious.
It's good for both of us. It's good for the pod. when I sneak one past the goalie. Okay, so who are we thinking for heavyweight fighters? I mean, it's got to be. I want to see Chevy Chase get his face smacked in, but I want to see Dennis Miller as well.
Get his face smacked in.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's a good one. Chevy versus Dennis.
Yeah.
Two people who started out beloved, and as they grew older, they aged like a fine milk, you know?
Yeah. Smart. I like it.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You like that one? Okay, we're locking it in. So the question before us is, who would win in a fight between Chevy Chase and Dennis Miller? At their peak, when they were hosting, both very notably smarmy, wry, dry, lightning quick.
Chevy got punched while he was in the cast.
He got punched in the
cast.
Bill
Murray punched him.
That's true.
That's right. I gotta say, like, I think I have no idea based all it's hearsay or whatever, but
hey,
Chevy Chase seems like he is so full of rage. Even at this age, he would just go fucking ape shit on any, if you throw him in a ring with anyone and he's just gonna fucking lose it. He's gonna take whatever happened to him in his childhood and put it at Dennis Miller, and I think it's done.
He seems like he had a mean dad, Chevy.
I've heard.
This is a place for hearsay and conjecture, so don't worry about it.
I openly accused Colin Jost of being a serial killer earlier.
I think he's a robot. You know, it's we stir up a big goulash of propaganda here.
Yeah, I've heard a couple things about him where you just think, like, definitely had a tough childhood and definitely filled with anger about literally anything can set him off.
Hate and rage.
Like, I just feels, think, yeah.
Seems like an insecure guy. Seems like he does have mad dad syndrome. He also, let's not forget, did all the cocaine in the 70s. So we're getting a Chevy who's on that that Colombian marching powder, as they call it. And I think he's...
I would also say that Chevy might, I think he might still be a pretty progressive liberal guy despite his behavior.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A chance to kick the ass of a conservative, maybe gets him fired up. I don't know.
Yeah. He's like an Alec Baldwin-y liberal. Guy who does not really practice the altruism of the idea, but prides himself on being like an LBJ type guy.
Yeah. I think you're right. I also think that, like, I look at Chevy Chase and he's got, we can look up the stats, but I imagine he's got a reach on Dennis Miller.
Tall guy, like 6'5".
Tall guy. I don't see somebody, like, you look at some of these fighters and you're like, yeah, I could see you being able to fight Colin Quinn. Sure. You know? You look at Chevy and you're like, no, I don't think so. I think you get stuff taken. You throw fits and you lash out and then you get punched in the face by Bill Murray.
But I think compared to Dennis Miller, though, it's like Dennis is like a twerp. He is a...
He's a twerp.
I feel like he's such a twerp. But he doesn't
Oh, you're going to try to punch me in the face, Zsa-Zsa.
Here's the one thing about Dennis Miller that you just brought made apparent, Jordan, is the head bobbing. This guy might be good at bobbing.
Yeah, you're missing. He's like Floyd. Wow. He's like Canelo. He's not getting touched at all.
This is a really good point. And we're on Fight Island, so I imagine those head bobs takes him, you know, he's like shifting through time and space here.
Yeah.
I'm over here. Now I'm over here.
Years of head bobbing have made those muscles pristine.
Yeah. He doesn't want to go off on a rant here. Boy,
I also think Dennis Miller, maybe he's got a bit of like MODOK syndrome where he like thinks he's a genius.
Oh, yes.
And wow, this kind of situational arrogance probably is really helpful.
He literally, his TV show is about him like holding the world in the palm of his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, he read The Art of War and is like, I'm prepared, chat. Like, yeah, he's gonna be great.
Know thy enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer. I don't know. This is one of those fights where it's like, okay, like, jeez. Naked in a pit, as upsetting as it is to imagine, I guess I give it
Young Chevy?
Yeah, Young Chevy naked in a pit for sure.
I guess I give it to Young Chevy. I guess I could see, you know, he's got that reach. We're talking Fletch here. You know he's working out. He was a hunk. He wants
he's
to be in a
briefly a hunk.
He wants to be in a magazine with his shirt unbuttoned. I think I got to give it to Chevy, but I don't think this is naked in a pit.
Yeah.
The thing is that fucking he's the art of the spin, baby.
Yeah.
Well, he's the master.
They kind of had reverse trajectories in a very specific way, which is Chevy was so beloved and then got gradually less beloved over time and got less and less fans. Dennis, relatively well-liked, tapped into the insane conservative radio market and got hordes of fans. So if they're maybe in a stadium where it's filled with Dennis Miller heads, disciples, but of Dennis Miller, and they're
yes,
they're called Miller-iples.
It's all stuff right to say.
Well, here's the problem. I hate to do this. I hate to spear tackle you.
Do it.
We're not getting Crazy Radio Dennis Miller.
Oh, you're fucking right.
We're getting Weekend Update Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
And he's here for the quips, baby.
Yeah.
But I imagine he's also doing blow, right?
I don't know. I think Dennis Miller is maybe a fastidious guy. I think he maybe doesn't, which is a disadvantage.
That is a disadvantage against someone on cocaine. Flat-footed, you get a -1 disadvantage to somebody on cocaine in any fight.
Man.
I'm locking in Chevy. I don't like it, but I just think he's got a weird kind of gangly. If having a large ego is a boon here on Fight Island, and I believe it is, then Chevy's is going to take him to the very top because he believes he will win. He was obviously selected for the Fight Island heavyweight championships. So
yeah,
I'll
vote in opposition. I'll go Dennis Miller. And just because this is a Weekend Update fight and Chevy did Weekend Update for 1 year.
Fuck, you're right.
And then
God
Dennis Miller became much more of a he was known for just that. And
you're
I think
right.
If he could have done it for the rest of his life, he would have. And so he can kind of play with the form a little, and maybe he just psychs Chevy out. I think he maybe just gets in his head.
Maybe he's got some gags.
And yeah, he's making references to stuff from Chevy's childhood, and it's freaking him out. He keeps talking about Estes Kefauver or something, and Chevy's just like, nah, and like has a full panic attack. And because I think that era Miller can kind of talk around him.
I think you're right. Shit. I'm not changing my vote.
Roger's the tiebreaker.
Well, and also I still think he could take it.
I think you got, I think, I know I made this point, but I'm going to go with, I think you got the number one head bobber comedy, the Michael Jordan of head bobbing in comedy. Number two, I'd love to see Leno and Dennis Miller face off. No one's landing a punch. You know, we got all head bobbers, but in this one, I think Chevy's firing.
Jay Leno puts up his fists and it's, have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
those are the names of his fists. Jack, have you seen this? Yeah. And have you heard about this?
But I mean, I think Chase is, he's flinging punches and Miller just has to land one punch. He just bobbing the whole time. Just pop one. You're done. That's what I think. I'm gonna go. The strength,
boy,
the ability
right
to head bob is unparalleled, except maybe
you're
by
right
Leno.
Nobody's ever seen anybody bob like this guy. He's bobbing and weaving. He's quipping. He's lashing. And he gets. You're right. He left a meteoric crater in the Weekend update lineup, and a meteoric crater in that Chevy Chase, perfectly coiffed for television, makeup that he had on. Ding ding ding! Dennis Miller takes it.
Dennis Miller, the heavyweight victor. Weekend
Who
update house.
Knew? I get it though. I could see, you know, you punch Chevy in the face one time. Nobody punches Chevy Chase. I'm out of here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He quit. He rage quits the fight.
Yeah. Good God. You're right. Ding, ding, ding. Raj, thank you so much for coming to Fight Island today. To talk about
you.
Weekend updates with us. Who's on it these days?
Colin Jost and Michael Che last year. Yeah.
Justin Che, and I think my man Andrew Dismukes is popping up on
He jumped on there from time to time.
Oh, Dizzy.
We should get him on the podcast.
Yeah, you've been on. I heard you've tried Weekend Update. You got to try our podcast.
We do Weekend Update guest segments with Andrew.
Raj, where can people find you on the internet?
Probably just Twitter @_ Raj Desai, RAJDESAI, or you can just Google Raj Desai.
Hell yeah.
Just Google Raj Desai.
And Sam, how about you? Are you still allowed on Twitter or?
Yeah, I haven't been banned yet for storming the Capitol. At Vote Sam Wiles on Twitter, and join the Fight Island Patreon. It's just $4 a month, and we give you a couple extra episodes a month if you like us that much. And you can join our Discord, where we're just truly it's for posting Big Johnson's shirts, which is fun enough.
We love to post pictures of Big Johnson t-shirts. They are recently we've discovered the background casting of Big Johnson t-shirts
so much crazier than the weird dick pun. Yeah,
buck wild. Insane. What's going on in the background of those? You think Where's Waldo had a thick background narrative? Check out a fucking Big Johnson t-shirt sometime.
Yeah. All right. Like, why is this Big Johnson shirt filled with like Serbian assassins or something? It makes no sense at all.
You had to see the Iraq War t-shirt to get the Afghanistan t-shirt. I'll host another podcast. It is called Werewolf Radar. Please go listen to it if you like ghosts and the paranormal and aliens. And paranormal preparedness, you know, it's terrifying out there. And we need everybody to do their part to push back the forces of darkness. I'm also on twitch.tv/RazorLou. Come check me out there.
And Jordan, I hipped some friends and relatives to who were getting into D&D to Better Than Heroes, too. They said it was great. Yeah.
Come check out Better Than Heroes. We're doing big things these days. We just hit level 9, which is... It's crazy. It's you become a superhero at level 10 and you forget it. And sometimes you level a whole city block on accident, but it hasn't happened yet.
One roll of the die.
I think that does it for today's episode of Fight Island. Thank you so much to Raj. Thank you so much to our listeners. And Sam, why don't you count us down there, pal?
1, 2, 3.
All right, break it up. It's all over for Fight Island.